Welcome to the Project Zion podcast. This podcast explores the unique spiritual and theological gifts Community of Christ offers for today's world.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Project Zion podcast. This is Brittany, and I will be your host for today. And I am going to be bringing you an interview with two of my very most favorite people, Parker Johnson and Jerry M. Dale Jr. And this is going to be part two in the series that we have featuring the organization Harmony. So the last episode that we did was the history of Gala. And then today we're going to be talking about Harmony. So I'm really excited to have these guys on today. And I'm just going to throw it over to them to introduce themselves a little bit. So Parker, why don't you tell us who you are and where you're at and just a little bit, and then we'll turn it on over to Jerry for a similar introduction.
Sure. Hey, everybody. My name is Parker Johnson. I live and work in Calgary, Alberta, Canada for Community of Christ, Canada West Mission Center. And I'm a lifelong member of Community of Christ and on the board of Harmony.
Hi, everyone. This is Jerry Dale Jr., and I'm the current president of Harmony. I'm really glad to be on my first Project Zion podcast. I am excited for the podcast to really talk about what we're doing with Harmony and kind of our vision forward. I've been a lifelong member of Community of Christ, originally from Stillwater, Oklahoma, and have lived in Washington, D.C. for over 20 years now.
Awesome. Thank you. So let's just start at the beginning and the basics. What is Harmony? What are we talking about when we talk about Harmony?
So this is Jerry. Harmony is the new name for the recently merged Gala, Gay and Lesbian Acceptance, and the organization WCN, the Welcoming Community Network. And Harmony's mission is to provide advocacy, education, and resources for queer voices in Community of Christ with a vision of full participation.
So let's talk about the word queer a little bit. I know that it has an intense history in the church and outside of the church. So Parker, do you want to walk us through a little bit about why the word queer is used in this context?
Sure. As you said, the word queer has definitely been a contentious topic, and it's still one that there's not one sense of 100% adoption across the LGBTQ acronym. The word queer, we went back and forth on this when we were discussing the new mission of the organization, and we really felt that queer was actually more inclusive, more welcoming, and more all-encompassing than what we would be locked into with an acronym. As time has gone on, the acronym has grown, and we don't want to leave anybody out. We don't want to have a plus sign representing anyone. And so we really felt that this word, however contentious and highly debated it is, actually has a lot of value in this case. So I'm going to quote from, there's an asterisk on our mission statement that I'd like to quote here that kind of does a better job of explaining our why behind it. So the term queer is being reclaimed by some who identify as LGBTQ+ and is used as an umbrella term for the LGBTQ+ community. We use the phrase queer voices to describe all persons, regardless of sexual orientation or gender identity, who have the courage to use their voice to speak for justice for the marginalized in the queer community. So, at the very least, it's a great educational tool for us. I know whenever we had our booth at World Conference, it was one of the most frequently asked questions, and it was a great kind of foray into issues that the community deals with. And as you may have noticed in that little quote that I just read, it also includes straight allies. So that's a really important piece as well. We heard feedback from people that when we had the Gala name, that straight allies didn't feel like it was an organization they could join because they felt like it wasn't their place to be in that organization. The culture that Harmony wants to foster is one of collaboration, one of full inclusion, and that includes everyone. So.
And what I'd also like to add to that, and Parker, thanks for doing that, is queer in the older generation, my generation and older, I'm 45, so 45 and older really was used up as a pejorative for many, many years. So it's interesting that the younger generation is having a hard time wrapping their mind around why would there be all of this challenge around the word queer. And it was really interesting. I had a conversation with somebody one time, and we were able to draw the link between other pejoratives in the community, like the word faggot, to the word queer. And once we understood the power in the word, it helped them be able to have a broader understanding of why people were having those reactions. So the mission and purpose of Harmony really is for radical inclusion. And if you have ever been harmed by that word queer, I want to sincerely apologize to you for that. It is not our intent to cause harm or cause pain. It is our intent to be as inclusive as we can in this really challenging world when we've got so many letters being added to that acronym.
Yeah, thank you for that, both of you. It's been important for me to just listen to as many of the perspectives as I can about the word before I use it. And I know that some people only identify as queer, and then other people are very offended by it. So I understand that it's a thin line to walk, but I appreciate the asterisks that you read, Parker, the description, and you know your further explanation of why you went with the word. So thank you, thank you, thank you. So let's talk about the merger. So why the need for GALA and WCN to merge, and then how did that happen, and what did that process look like?
So I'll take that question. So the idea of the merger actually started in about 2015. And I've been involved with GALA since I came out of the closet, so 25 years now. And I really began to understand that our little denomination really could not sustain two separate LGBTQ plus advocacy organizations. So that's two boards of directors going for the same type of membership and. So by combining our efforts, we're really able to become more laser-like focused on what are the issues that we're being faced with today, and so that we could be ultimately do more good together than we could apart.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to kind of join forces when we are a small denomination, and when it's a small group within a small denomination, it would make sense that you could combine and accomplish more. So.
Yeah, and what's great about the Welcoming Community Network vision is to work interdenominationally. So the Welcoming Community Network is a member in a much larger welcoming church movement, and we're able to work at that larger ecumenical level to help move the needle of acceptance and together with other denominations more than we can individually as well. Mm. So we're going to be continuing that membership, that engagement as we continue in harmony as well.
Yeah, I think that's really, really important. Okay, so now we know the why that the merger needed to happen. So what did that process actually look like? What kind of work was involved there?
So that the merge process, it was the first time I'd ever gone through any kind of merger like that before. And it wound up being hundreds of hours of person hours to affect this merger. Discussions on what are the requirements of the merger, who would merge into who, you know, what are the different resources that we're going to need. We had to do a major revision to our bylaws to bring them up to current standards because they hadn't been revised since the 80s. There were formal votes of the membership and congregations because we're going from WCN not being a member organization into a GALA, which is a member organization. Legal filings, state of Missouri filings, because we're incorporated in the state of Missouri. You know, the laundry list of things just went on and on and on. And one of the requirements of the merger was an agreement to do a rebranding. So legally, WCN merged into Gala and WCN dissolved. But that didn't feel very welcoming to keep the same name. So what we wound up doing is agreeing to do a rebranding to kind of combine both organizations under a new name and a new brand. So Parker led the whole rebrand effort, and was our resident expert on that. So I'll let him talk a little bit more about the rebranding.
Sure. Yeah. So back in September of last year, so 2018, at the time, Gala Retreat, I presented a 7-step process to get us from Gala, WCN, middle of the merger, to a final product, a new brand. And we closely followed that, actually. We never deviated from the 7 steps that we'd given the membership there. And it really was important to all of the leadership that transparency was at the center of everything. And so we wanted to over-communicate. We wanted to ensure that everyone had an opportunity to give feedback. And so there were various stages of the rebranding process that at the beginning, for example, it didn't matter if you were a paid member or not. I wanted your feedback to answer some general questions about how you perceived the organization, what you hoped for the organization, ask some historical questions about, you know, past ideas and maybe values of the organization, those types of things. And then we would progress slowly into the point where it was a members only question because we were starting to make changes. So there was a discovery phase where we were getting general feedback. We did a request for proposals at that point to bring in a branding agency. We felt really strongly that a third party needed to be overseeing this professional design because I didn't want any bias, especially because we were bringing in 2 groups. So that was a really positive experience for us. I don't want to speak for Jerry, but I know it felt really nice having someone hold our hands through this entire process that had great feedback and a professional outlook on how to, and the training to do this. You know, as we move forward, there were formal votes. We engaged the branding agency with all of the data that we'd been given from members, non-members. And it really just propelled us into a place where I think both Jerry and I and everyone on the rebranding committee, you know, we'd go a little while and then we'd realize, nope, I don't feel comfortable making this decision until we ask membership more questions about this. So, you know, for every question that we'd get from the designer, we generally have really good feedback already from the membership to answer most of those questions. But we would always hit a point where I felt like I hit the end of my leash and I would call Jerry and I would say, I think we need to get on another Zoom call because I don't feel like I should be the one making this decision without membership feedback. And so we did. We had lots of surveys that we did. Our poor membership probably got blasted with emails, especially towards the end, with really quite a few surveys, but they had really important questions in them that helped us get to a really great final product.
It was a survey every week or two of the entire membership. And what was incredible about that is the more we communicated about this rebranding, the more energized our membership became and the more members we got as a result. And so it's just been such a great spectrum of feedback that we received to really help ensure that we took the right steps in this brand.
Definitely. So in the end, we finished on time. We launched our new brand publicly at World Conference, which was a wonderful way to kind of start bridging the gap between Gala, WCN, and answering those questions from people in the church who, you know, recognize Gala and they recognize WCN, but who is this Harmony and where is Gala and WCN? So we had a great time at the booth, fielding some of those questions and, you know, kind of answering folks' questions about what the future might look like, as we move forward. So finished on time, and I have to say on budget as well, just because I'm really proud of that. So, process from September through April, and most of the work I say happened really between January and April, but I'm really proud of the final results.
Yeah, that sounds like it took an extreme amount of work, but that you went through it with a large amount of intentionality. I really appreciate that you got feedback from not only members, but friends from the organization, and then kind of wheedled down to a group that was going to be engaged long-term. So it's really impressive. That's a lot of effort. Okay, so what are some of the key issues that Harmony is planning to address going forward?
It's a really good question. We've spent the last, the better part of a year really working on administrative tasks that are integral before we can move on to these next few questions. And we've arrived at this point. So it's a very pertinent question. Now that we're done with the merger and the rebrand, we're really looking towards programming and how we can ensure that our members gain a lot of value from their affiliation with Harmony. So we're in this phase right now where, as we already discussed with the rebrand, we need feedback. So we've been asking members and friends of the organization for ideas on, what are some things that we can do that would really maximize the value of being a member. And so we're still in that phase. So for all you listeners out there, if you have any ideas for us, we are certainly open to hearing your suggestions. We definitely see ourselves as advocating, as educating, and providing resources, just as Jerry mentioned in our mission statement. So those are our three focus areas: advocacy, education, and resources. So within that, there's a lot of wiggle room that we can really put together some valuable stuff. My biggest thing is that I want to make sure that our members are proud to be affiliated with Harmony, and that we are seen as a respectful, loving, welcoming community that people can come and be part of and help progress not only themselves and the organization forward, but also with our church, Community of Christ, as a denomination moving forward. So that's definitely, I think, our focus as we move forward, is trying to figure out, what do our members need? What does the church need? And how can we support that?
So Parker, if people want to get in contact with you, or if they want to help or have their voice heard, where would you direct them?
Sure. You can email us. That'd be the best way of doing it. Our email address is info@harmony.lgbt.
Awesome. And yeah, we'll be sure to have that listed in the show notes with this podcast. So thank you.
So some exciting news kind of coming hot off the presses. Harmony will be announcing our nominations process for the board of directors and officers in the coming weeks. Now, in order to be on the board, you need to be a member of the organization. So if you have joined or would like to join, or want more information about the nominations process, check out our website, harmony.lgbt, for more information.
So what else does Harmony have going on throughout the rest of the year?
So in addition to nominations for the board, Harmony has been invited to participate at Spectacular this year. For those that don't know, Spectacular is the youth camp to be at of all youth camps for high school age kids in Community of Christ. It's held every year at our university in Lamoni, Iowa. So this year, the special guest class is where I'll be presenting some information about Harmony on Tuesday of camp at 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. So this class is hosted by one of the first presidents, Stacy Graham, and it'll be a really great opportunity for us to share together about what does it mean to be LGBTQ+ or queer in Community of Christ. So I'm excited about that opportunity to continue to get the word out about what we're doing.
That's really awesome. I love that your class at SPEC is going to be hosted or facilitated with Stacy Graham, who's a member of the First Presidency. So I think having World Church leadership give the support that they have, in addition to many, many others, is really significant and something that I get really excited about when I think of the future of not only Harmony, but the church and that relationship between harmony and the church. Which I guess kind of brings me to my next question. What do you anticipate the relationship between harmony and the church going forward? What do you hope that looks like as we walk together into the future? So, Parker, do you want to take that one?
Yeah, so I hope that our relationship with Community of Christ continues to be one that is respectful and collaborative, and that seeks to be to envision an even more inclusive future in our denomination. So we've seen incredible amounts of support from church members and church leaders even in various capacities since we've launched into this merger and rebranding process. And just at conference this year, we had a Wednesday night worship service where we had several apostles serving communion to those who were in attendance. And I think we had over 100 people there that were in attendance. It was a really meaningful service to see the representation of church members, leaders, and everyone there together, just connecting and being vulnerable together. Stories were shared, and then communion, of course, was shared, and it was just a really impactful service for everyone who was there.
Yeah, and I will have to agree. I heard many times that was one of the highlights of World Conference for some people was the Harmony Worship Service. It is something worth seeing if you've never been to one of our services.
Yeah, definitely. I heard lots of positive things for sure as well. And, you know, in Community of Christ, for those who don't know, there's the church has tackled the issue, LGBT issues in the church on a country by country basis. So there's lots of work to be done. There are 7 countries that have now gone through this process as they seek to become affirming. But as we work within those 7 countries and more countries that have yet to meet and decide to do such a thing, there's going to be conflict, there's going to be disagreements, but the key thing here is to remember that we're all people and that we have stories to share. One of the kind of cornerstones of GALA and WCN has always been sharing stories and the impact that you can have just simply by sharing your story with one person. So as long as we can communicate with honesty, integrity, and from a place of the greater good, I can see our relationship only strengthening going forward. So
Parker, I know that the LGBTQ plus community does not always agree on terms and definitions or even culture. So since you kind of brought up conflict and things like that and working together, what are there any ways that Harmony is planning on working together just to bring everyone into harmony, like your name suggests?
Yeah, good question. I mean, I think oftentimes in music, there's going to be dissonance and harmony, and there's lots of different expressions that make up the whole. So it's something that I feel strongly that if we can work together in a collaborative way to listen to one another, to risk something new, that we can really learn something from one another. And it's not always going to be without a messy conversation or uncomfortable moments. But that's just the reality. And I find that sometimes out of the most uncomfortable conversations, if I can just force myself to sit in the discomfort and ask myself, why am I not comfortable right now? I can learn a great deal. And I think, you know, it's a struggle that I continue to work on in my life and in my church work and also in my work with Harmony. But it's something that always pays back in dividends.
I really think that makes life so beautiful is whenever we're sitting in that uncomfortable space. So, you know, I've learned a lot as we're going through this as well, just sitting with people who disagree with me or sitting, thinking about things in different ways. And I really have come to appreciate, you know, the dissonance with the harmony and how does that relate to this name and. So I think there's just so much opportunity here.
Well, and I think when I think of the LGBTQIA plus community, the queer community, how diverse it is. And I think sometimes people on the outside just assume that it's all the same, that the culture is the same or the relationship with what we typically think is like a traditional heterosexual society, that we assume that everyone in a marginalized group interacts with the majority in the same way. But really, the LGBTQ community, it intersects with class. I mean, there's different levels of marginalization when it comes to the community. And I think that that's important too, to think, to take in consideration when you're talking about having harmony. And so this idea that some words may have been used for harm, or some members of the LGBTQ community have an easier time, quote unquote, passing for being straight or cisgender or whatever it may be. So yeah, the diversity in the community is just, I mean, it can't be overstated. And so I think that the name Harmony is really beautiful because again, harmony is not necessarily unison where everyone is singing the same note, but that it's different notes working together to make the whole beautiful. So I really appreciate that.
And I appreciate you saying that because, you know, as we were working to design the logo, we always asked people, well, what do you see? What do you see in the logo? And we were really conscious about kind of the color palette that we chose for the logo. And if you look at one of the electronic versions and you actually zoom in, you'll notice it's a color wheel behind. And what I've learned from that is not any one person is any of one color. You know, each person is more than one thing. There is dimensionality and intersectionality in each of us. And that's one of the greatest things that I've been able to take from the logo of Harmony and apply to my own life and my own thinking is, how can I, as a cisgender, gay, white male who prefers gender neutral pronouns, relate with a transgender asexual person who prefers feminine pronouns? You know, so how does all of that intersect and what does that mean? And how can we create a safe space for everybody at the table in the best way that we know how? And until we can really stop and listen to each other's stories and have the courage to ask the questions and have the ability to be vulnerable with each other and truly listen to each other and protect each other's worth, when we get to that point, I think the world is just going to be a much better place.
Yeah, I agree. So, Jerry, like I mentioned in the intro of this podcast, we've already heard from some of the founding members of GALA and WCN and just have learned more about the history of those two organizations. And so I'm wondering how Harmony plans to kind of carry that legacy forward into the new organization, Harmony.
We have given a lot of thought about our legacy and how we move forward in a way that honors our legacy. And we would not be where we are today had it not been for the giants that came before us. So Bob Swoffer, who was our founder, Arthur Butler, Ginger Farley, and so many other leaders, both living and for those that have passed on, you know, they really did lay a great groundwork and built some great structures that we're building onto. So as we redesign our membership program, we're going to be looking at our history to really drive our future. So in addition, WCN gave us great structure for a congregation support program. And what we're looking at doing is revising that in a way that it is more relevant for our congregations today. And for the congregations that have completed the program in the past, how do we provide continuing education or make it relevant to them the year after they complete the program and begin looking at what resources do we need to support that as well. So again, advocacy, education, resources, and all of the programs is what we're really trying to look to do. So becoming a member not only helps us shape these programs, but it also will help us develop new programs, and your voices really matter in what we're trying to accomplish. So we really do want to encourage people to go to our website and take a look at what we're doing and join us if that's something that you want to do.
So I should also point out that, you know, in my opinion, joining a membership organization also just gives you a whole bunch of intangible benefits. And one of those is just the idea of joining a community. So, of course, we will be developing resources and tools as an organization for our membership. But on top of that, you are going to be joining into a community of like-minded individuals who may not all be on the same point on a path, but who are looking towards the future for a better tomorrow. And, you know, have at it. Make up your own subcommittees and subcommittees of people who are looking to, you know, foster change and development in the church and in our organization. And that's just a huge added benefit that I think that we don't often really speak to specifically, but it's one that I think is potentially the most valuable of joining any membership organization.
Well, and I think to tag on to that, Parker, you know, our membership is probably one of the most diverse that we've had in recent history. We have over 140 members in 23 states, 3 provinces, and a total of, I believe, 8 countries now around the world. So if you're traveling the world, you know, there's the opportunity to connect with somebody from Harmony on your travels as well. It is just, there's so many great potential, so much great potential for us as an organization.
That's really amazing. Those are really awesome numbers as far as membership and then how diverse they are in geographical location. So what can you tell us about the board of directors? What's the diversity like there?
So our board has been one of the most diverse in our recent history as well. Now, diversity comes in many different forms. So we have people who identify as gay or lesbian, we have non-binary, we have asexual, we have men, we have women, we have kind of all over the place of diversity, which is great, and we're always looking for more. So if you don't feel that you're represented, or if you feel that you could bring something to the table, we would love to ask you to submit your name to be nominated for the board.
Yeah, Jerry, and that diversity on the board sounds really important too. I mean, if you have a board of directors that actually reflects the organization, I think that's a sign of a healthy organization. So I really, really appreciate that. So I guess with the membership then, what do you hope that they gain from being involved with Harmony, being a part of this Harmony community?
So I'm really glad that you said community, because it kind of goes back to what I was just saying earlier about, you know, this is first and foremost a community. And so what we hope as a board, as leaders, and as fellow members of Harmony is that others who join the organization feel like they have a place to call home, that they are fully accepted as they are.
So what I really hope for our membership is a place where we could be true advocates for each other and in the church. You know, advocacy has always been part of our history, and it will continue into the foreseeable future. Advocacy is so very important. And, you know, like our mission says, advocacy, education, and resources, you know, and all of these are really my hope is that all of these things really help engage us more into the enduring principles and mission of Community of Christ, and sharing more broadly what Community of Christ is about in this LGBTQ queer community.
So from the educational standpoint, I think for our membership, learning how to become a voice for the marginalized is huge, where of course you can tell your own story, but telling others who are in positions of power that you're trying to advocate for others as well is something that requires education. You have to talk to people who are impacted by different scenarios, policies, and circumstances so that you can feel more aware to be able to effectuate positive change. Not to speak for them, but in the event that they are not there, that you can actually attempt to represent their best interest. And I also think it's important to note that the leadership team can't come up with, nor should be expected to come up with, every single membership gain for the organization. I only know how to see life through my lens, and I need other people to tell me their stories so that I can become more aware, so that they can explain to me what Harmony should be pushing for, what Harmony should be standing up for. And so while we're coming up with some of these responses to what our hopes and dreams are for membership in the organization, that's all well and good, but it doesn't just stop here. There's lots of room for growth.
And what I hear Parker saying there is for people to be courageous in their voice, to really speak out and share what is it that we need to do to help. And so I think one of my other hopes is, you know, for people to have the courage to speak out, to step out of their personal closets, whether it be as an ally or as an LGBTQ plus person or any other ways that people can step out of their closets. Allies have an important closet to step out of in congregations and saying, hey, we want to be part of something bigger. We want to share our inclusive and affirming policies within the larger LGBTQ community. Because we all do have a great story to tell. You know, this denomination has come light years over the last decade or two in learning what it means to be the worth of all persons, to know what it means to be a prophetic people. And I think it's my hope that we continue to have the courage to speak our truth. And as the mission prayer says, to risk something new.
I think that's really beautiful. And like I think I've said, but it's really inspiring to have an organization have a community go through what they've gone through within the church, and then to come out and be in this place at this time with a lot of work ahead of them, but with a drive and a determination and a community that supports that. That's really exciting for me. So I guess wrapping this up, is there anything else that you two would like to leave us with?
So earlier I'd mentioned that, you know, we're looking for feedback, suggestions, input from members and non-members alike for the direction of the organization. So if you feel like you have a really great idea on something that falls into the categories of advocacy, education, and resources, we are really keen on hearing your ideas. So send those ideas to us at info@harmony.lgbt.
Yeah, awesome. We will for sure put those links and the email and all that in the show notes so our listeners can easily find them. So thank you guys. I really appreciate you coming on today and just helping the church and seekers understand a little bit more about Harmony. So I'm really looking forward to seeing where it takes everybody and where it takes the church. So
thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us, Brittany. It was great to have you on the board of Gala and Harmony as we were going through this transition. And I'm just so I see so much promise for the future.
Yeah, it's really exciting.
Thanks for listening to Project Zion Podcast. Subscribe to our podcast on Apple Podcast, Stitcher, or whatever podcast streaming service you use, and while you are there, give us a 5-star rating. Project Zion Podcast is sponsored by Latter-day Seeker Ministries of Community of Christ. The views and opinions expressed in this episode are of those speaking and do not necessarily reflect the official policy or position of Latter-day Seeker Ministries or Community of Christ. The music has been graciously provided by Dave Hines.